Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
You know, growing up in McKeesport, and you're always looking for local people to emulate or to model. And one name that I remember hearing as a kid is someone who, you'll pardon the pun, a local person who made good. He did as a TV network news correspondent, but he was so much more throughout his more than one lifetime. His career, his work, his life are the subject of a new book that's available from the University of Pittsburgh Press. It's called Malgood Reporting, The Life and Work of a Black Broadcast Trailblazer. And the University of Pittsburgh is going to be celebrating his life and work with a panel discussion on February 13th. We're going to tell you more about that. You are going to be able to attend that if you want. The authors of the book are with us this morning. Leanne Sukas is a teaching professor in the Department of History at the University of Pittsburgh. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And also with us this morning, Rob Ruck, who is a professor of history at the University of Pittsburgh. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning to you.
First things first, Malgood, who was he? Why are we reading this book?
Malgood bursts on the national scene in 1962 when he is standing outside the United Nations amidst the Cuban Missile Crisis, speaking for ABC News, and he's on air that day 17 times. He's 54 years old, and in 1962, breaking into the media on national TV when you're 54, fairly unusual. You know, you say Mal made good. Well, it's an extraordinary story of a family, one generation enslaved, the second generation sharecropping, and the third generation coming north and making it in the midst of the Great Migration. And I think we're as fascinated with what Mal did with his life as he grew up in Homestead, worked nights in a steel mill when he went to Pitt, worked on the Hill, started working with the Courier, and became a fierce voice on radio in the 1950s. And that he made it big, you know, sort of the icing on the cake.
How were you approached? First of all, when did you both hear Malgood's story or hear about Malgood, and when were you approached to write the book?
Back in the 1980s, I had had a book come out about the old Negro League and Sandlot Clubs in Pittsburgh. And I was at a Black History event talking about them. Afterwards, Ronald Good, one of Mal's sons, came up to me and said, if you want to know about the Negro Leagues, you should talk to Mal. A couple of years later, I did a PBS documentary, Kings on the Hill, about Black baseball. And Mal was on it, and he blew me away. Just perceptive. He was part of the scene. He grew up across the street from the founders of the Homestead Grays, a block away from Composey Jr.'s family. And then years later, a couple of Mal's kids asked me if I would consider working on a biography. And I said on one condition, that Leanne Sukas was part of the team.
So that brings Leanne Sukas, teaching professor of history. Why was this project so attractive to you?
Well, to me, the project was attractive because I have been sort of a student of Black history and a teacher of Black history for many, many years. So I felt that the context, we needed this story to reveal a lot of the realities of American life, Black American life, who we are as a nation. In addition, the biography itself, a long life, a life well lived, a very rich life, the idea of being able to show all sides of Malgood, who he was as a leader, as an activist, as a media figure, but also as a father and a community leader and a local figure who played many different roles in many different times, in all in stellar ways. So because we had access to the family, whose memories were very rich, we were really able to paint a very textured characteristic and analysis of who he was and what he was like in a way that really intrigued me. So between Rob's expertise in Black Pittsburgh and Rob's expertise as a research historian and sort of my other, you know, supplementary insights and abilities to bring in the wider picture and the more human side of that, I was very privileged to spend a lot of time talking to the family and getting their reflections and stories. And I felt like I was a witness to watching the history being told.
Leanne Tsukas and Rob Rucker in the history department at the University of Pittsburgh. They are the authors of a new book called Malgood Reporting, The Life and Work of a Black Broadcast Trailblazer. It is available from the University of Pittsburgh Press website at upittpress.org. I think there's both hardcover and paperback, and I'm assuming by now there's probably an ebook edition as well. February 13th, we'll tell you more about this. During Black History Month, there is going to be a panel discussion at the University of Pittsburgh campus bringing together educators, broadcasters, and I believe some members of the Good family to talk about his life and work. I have to say, and this is not meant to curry favor or anything, that the book is basically catnip to me because you've got it hits all my buttons. It hits the Black History button. It hits the history button. It's radio and TV history. It's Mon Valley history. It's the Negro Leagues. You tell stories about Mal Good bringing home some of the greats of baseball, Willie Mays and Roberto Clemente, and at one point I think you write the half the San Francisco or half the St. Louis Cardinals showed up at his house, and what happened. Was it the Cardinals or
mostly the Giants?
Mostly San Francisco Giants. Okay.
You know, Mal grew up with the Negro Leagues, mm-hmm. and that was more important than the Pirates, and frankly, in those days, a lot better than the Pirates. Mm-hmm. So we got to know these people, and when he had a radio show, and these guys are making it into the majors and coming to Pittsburgh, he has them on the air. But you know, 1950s Pittsburgh. It's not that easy for visiting Black athletes mm-hmm. to find a comfortable restaurant. So they would go to Mary Lavelle Good and Mal Good's house, and Mary was a great chef.
He'd call from the stadium or from the locker room, and he'd say, "Hey, I'm bringing some guys home."
And they would – she was apparently ready, Mary Lavelle Good, at all times for between 1 and 30 to show up at that house.
Between 1 and 30.
Uh-huh. One of the uh-huh. witnesses to these meals said Mary didn't cook. She fed people. And she was known for being a stellar cook and a great warm host. But the house was an open space and a safe space where they could feed their stomachs in a wonderful and warm and loving environment, but also where they could have the safety to think about broader issues and have very real conversations about them and how to deal with, as the kids would say, they're talking about the Negro problem again. And that would be – so Mary Lavelle provided them a place to be comfortable and safe and adventuresome in their plans and goals for moving forward.
There are no Black front office or coaching figures at the time in Major League Baseball. And Mal's a bit older than these guys. So somebody like Henry Aaron goes to Mal for advice. Mal takes him to his first NAACP meeting in Pittsburgh, and Aaron becomes a lifelong NAA advocate. Mal is close to Jackie Robinson, who, after he quits playing, is constantly consulting with Mal about how to deal with some of the abuse he's still enduring.
And Jackie Robinson, and we're going to have to take a break here in a couple of seconds, but Jackie Robinson also then turns out to play a very significant role in Mal making that leap from the local media in Pittsburgh to the national stage and international stage.
Yeah, it's a really dramatic story because Mal is in Pittsburgh and he's doing very well. He's on the airwaves. He's at the Courier. He's known as a local pundit in many ways, but he cannot break into television. And television is on the rise, but it's a work in progress. You know, it's in startup mode. And he keeps trying to break into television, but the race barrier prevents him from doing so.
If it wasn't true, if the story wasn't true and it didn't check out, it would be too good for fiction because – The characters who show up in here, and like I said, we have a break coming up from the early part of the 20th century right through to today. You know, in Malgood's later life, he's writing angry letters to Clarence Thomas, complaining about some of the positions that Clarence Thomas has taken. It's just what an extraordinary life that spans the 20th century. And even though he died in, 1995?
95, right.
The echoes of his work continue today. It's just amazing to me to see the names and the themes and the stories that are developed in this book.
But I just want to add, there was also nobody too big for him to confront and nobody too small.
No.
So when we go through the letters, you will be going through letters to people in South Carolina who are writing and saying, can you help me figure out how my child can go to school? And then the next one will be to Thurgood Marshall. I mean, it's an amazing array.
And then he's going to McKeesport to help the McKeesport Little Tigers raise money. It's just – and bringing Jackie Robinson with him. It's just – what an amazing guy, and it's almost cinematic in its scope. The book is called Malgood Reporting, The Life and Work of a Black Broadcast Pioneer. Rob Ruck and Leanne Tsoukas are our guests this morning. They are the authors. You can get it through the University of Pittsburgh Press at upittpress.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Welcome back. We're talking with Rob Ruck and Leanne Tsoukas. They are professors at the University of Pittsburgh. They are the authors of the new book, Malgood Reporting, The Life and Work of a Black Broadcast Trailblazer. And there will be a celebration of the life of Malgood, local guy from Homestead who made good as the first black network television correspondent in the United States. But the story really begins, as you alluded to, Rob, much earlier, as the family, just two generations removed from slavery, moves north to Homestead. Why were so many African American and black families moving north to Pittsburgh, Homestead, McKeesport, Hazelwood, and settling in these areas?
I think any African-American family that could get out of the South in the late 19th century would take that opportunity. And Pittsburgh was the industrial epicenter of the country at the time. Malgood's father, William Good, who was illiterate when he came to Pittsburgh, started working in a mill in Lawrenceville and then at the Homestead Steelworks. Mal's mother, from Stanton, Virginia, was an educated woman who taught school down there, who came from a comparatively less racist background in terms of the community, came and she and Mal met in McKeesport, fell in love. I think part of the prenups was that William Good, who was a first helper on a furnace at the Homestead Works, would learn how to read and write, and he fulfilled that, and the kids would go to college.
And education was extremely important to them. Faith was extremely important to them. And being involved in the community and in the neighborhood was extremely important to them.
I think those were three inextricably linked institutions for them: faith, family, community, commitment, progress. All of – and they spent all their time involved in those endeavors. And the kids grew up in homes where they knew what was expected.
Mal excels on the debating team at Homestead High School, but then – the paths for him are fairly limited. He goes in to the Homestead Steel Mill, the U.S. Steel Mill in Homestead, correct?
He went into the mill the summer after his junior year and worked nights his senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a year off and then enrolls at Pitt.
At night school?
No.
Or day classes. Okay.
Because he's working night turns.
Sure.
His two older brothers had gone to college. One at Howard. His other brother, Bill, becomes a pharmacist after studying at Pitt. And he's working in the mill. The mill's going like gangbusters. He's saving money for law school. And then, of course, the Depression begins. And his savings in U.S. stock basically evaporate.
And there's no union yet. The United Steelworkers Union is very weak. The other thing that I remember, Tony Buba and Ray Henderson did a movie about 20 or 30 years ago called Struggles in Steel about African-American steelworkers. African-American steelworkers got the worst jobs in the mill. So Mal was working for that money.
Well, and Mal's father had the best job a black man could have.
Right. Yeah.
And it goes down in history as someone who was injured on the job and actually collected like medical benefits the rest of his life from this life-changing injury. But then it deteriorated. The condition for black Americans deteriorated in the mill. Their position deteriorated after that.
Upon graduation from the University of Pittsburgh, where does Mal Good go? He doesn't go into journalism first.
He continues working at the mill, getting a few days of work month, begins to work as a porter at a clothing store downtown. And he's trying to make it, but I mean, the degree of unemployment and underemployment in Allegheny County in the early 30s was extraordinary.
Sure.
Finally
we're talking 25-30% at times.
At least.
Yeah.
His connection with an Alpha Phi Alpha brother, Ev Utterback, who is a tremendous athlete at Pitt, captain of the track and field team, leads to Mal being hired as a junior probation officer. And from there, he goes to the Center Avenue YMCA as the boys director, and from there to the housing projects, which are built during World War II. So he's making it. He gets married to the love of his life, Mary Lavelle. They move into the hill. They start having a family. And there comes a moment when the pressure of all that gets to Mal. He has a heart attack.
Yeah, which today is serious. In 1948 was extremely fraught. They did not have the resuscitation techniques and the care techniques that we have now.
And from there, he goes to work for the Courier.
Because they tell him it's going to be more relaxing.
Exactly.
And he'll be able to – it'll be a desk job and he'll be able to stay at the office.
But remember, he wasn't a journalist at the Courier.
Right.
He was expanding sales.
Mm-hmm.
So he was traveling into the South and expanding sales. So he still wasn't being a journalist.
Yeah. And he still wasn't getting a relaxing
that he was promised. No, absolutely not. He was actually on the cutting edge of some of the most stressful work you could have in those years.
But he's establishing this network of contacts, which is based in part upon his Alpha Phi Alpha and NAACP connections. And he's starting to speak to groups all over the country. He must have given at least 1,000 talks. Every church, NAACP, Alpha Phi Alpha chapter, Urban League, to interracial groups and the like. And he develops his own rather daunting rhetorical skills and then goes on the radio.
KQV radio, to be specific. We're going to pause right here just to remind people that you are listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. Our guests this morning are Rob Ruck and Lynn Sukas. They are at the University of Pittsburgh, and they are the authors of the new book, Mal Good Reporting, The Life and Work of a Black Broadcast Trailblazer. You can get that through the University of Pittsburgh Press website, upittpress.org, or wherever books are sold, of course. Coming up on February 13th, Rob and Leanna will be part of a panel discussion at the University of Pittsburgh. You can find out more information as it's available on the university's website or at pitt.ly/BHM2025. KQV is looking to expand its audience. It is playing catch up, as every radio station was in those days, to the other K radio station, KDKA. And they view, let's put this black commentator on for, I believe it was a 15-minute segment, correct?
But let's remember, his sister, Mary D., another one of the sort of spectacular good family,
yeah,
had her own radio show. She was the first African-American
DJ. She's a book all by
herself.
Mary D. is a book all by herself, yeah.
And she's running a gospel radio show, music, somewhat news. And they work together to sort of piggyback onto her following and to have Mal deliver the news in these brief segments.
It goes spectacularly well until KQV, having found a golden goose, decides it needs more golden eggs, and it goes to the Pittsburgh Courier and says, well, now that this Mal Good segment is so popular and it's going so well, maybe you'll pay us for it.
And Jesse Van, the publisher, says no.
Nothing has changed, in other words, is what I'm hearing.
They easily found other outlets, and Mal and Mary D. become fixtures at WHOD, Station for All Nations, which was a post-World War II startup by a rather progressive visionary. After he got out of the Navy, he wanted to have a station that spoke to the immigrant communities and the black community, working-class people, particularly in the Mon Valley. And it became an important show.
And it's the station that for our listeners are going to be most familiar with was where Porky Chadwick became famous.
And eventually it's sort of the predecessor of Wham-O.
Mm-hmm.
But that allows Mal to become a unique voice, a black voice on regional radio. And he does not shirk from what he sees as the responsibility, particularly if there are some problems and reports of police violence or of segregation. He takes it on, and he just becomes an advocate for the people in this area.
Let's pause right there. The time goes quickly. When we come back, let's pick up the story with WHOD and WAMO as Mal Good becomes even more prominent in the Pittsburgh community, but just can't seem to break down that last barrier, okay? We'll be right back to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
So Mal Good becomes this fixture. He fills in at one point for Bob Prince on a KDKA Pirates broadcast or on the talk show afterwards. Everyone says, the general manager of KDKA says, you did a great job. We loved you. However,
we're not ready. We're not ready for a black voice
on KDKA.
And we're not ready. Americans aren't ready to have a black broadcaster deliver the news to them. So Mal Good, but this is, of course, an interesting nexus here because we have radio in search of a market, but television on the rise. So both are adjusting quickly and adapting to this growth. So Mal's very frustrated. He knows television is the future.
But as Rob said at the beginning of the half hour, he's also 50 years old.
He's 54 years old at this point.
Okay.
And he is also panicked because he still has – he has six kids.
They're
being educated. He still has expenses.
And I can tell you from working in local radio,
right,
it does not pay well.
And he's and he's working really, really hard and doing really, really well.
Yeah.
But his race is an obstacle that never allows him to surmount, and he never breaks through the next level. And he's very frustrated. He's also very good. He's very prepared. He knows what he's doing. He's a consummate professional. And he's very charismatic. He's very good. And he's very informed at everything he does. So there's nothing he can do to change this. The structure around him has to change it. So the day comes when his good friend Jackie Robinson is coming into town to go to the McKeesport at the B'nai B'rith, right, for a celebration, Jackie Robinson Day. And Mal Good expresses his frustration to him about his inability to break through. And Jackie Robinson absorbs this news. Soon following that, Jackie Robinson is at ABC Studios recording with Howard Cosell. And the president of ABC News, Jim Haggerty, hears that Jackie Robinson is there and runs over to meet his idol. So he's excited to meet his idol. And instead, he gets an earful about how frustrated Jackie Robinson is, who says, I'm in this studio. I see two black people, one janitor and one doorman. Where are the black people? And Jim Haggerty says, there's nobody qualified. And Jackie Robinson says, that is simply not true. And challenges him to do better and says, you need to meet my friend Mal Good.
We could do an hour on this because Jim Haggerty is an interesting figure of him in and of himself. He had been President Eisenhower's press secretary. Before that, he had worked for New York Governor Tom Dewey, who had run for president. So he's got a political mind. And he also knows that in that era, a lot of black folks voted Republican in that era because the Southern Democrats were not friendly to integration and were not friendly to the black community. So Jim Haggerty sees an opportunity here.
He's completely in tune, and he's in tune with the television transformation, but he's also in tune with civil rights because he is apparently sort of the informal advisor to Eisenhower in those years and is the only press secretary to this date who stays in both administrations. He works for him for 8 years.
Yeah.
So he's an insider in there, and he is on the forefront of bringing television crews in for news conferences into the White House.
He's also the news director of the weakest by far TV network
by
in the United
far.
States.
The joke says of the top three, they were number four. Mm-hmm. So they really had nothing to lose by taking these risks that everybody thought were so dangerous. they do then a search. And depending upon who tells the story, the nature of this is different. And even when Mal Good retires and Jim Haggerty kind of remembers it, that this was Jim Haggerty's idea.
Of course.
to do this. But they do a search which lasts several months and brings, we think, about 30 people to the table. Mal Good makes it through to the second round. And with the story that we love about Mal Good there is they give him copy to read. And he said, I'd prefer to write my own.
He goes to the wire machine and he writes his own newscast for them and delivers it. And it takes a couple of weeks before he gets a call, correct?
Right. And when that call comes, it turns out much of the family is home because it's end of summer. Some are going back to college. There's some chaos in the house. And apparently Jim Haggerty calls and says, Mal, if you want the job, you've got it. And Mal Good said, I am the grandson of slaves. I never thought I'd see this day. And then the family celebrates mightily.
This is front page news, too, in the Courier. In fact, I think they read an editorial congratulating him and wishing him well and telling ABC, you've got a good man here in Mal Good, and we're all proud of him, or something like that.
You know, Pittsburgh might have been slow to integrate the news and media, but when Mal got that interview for this position, Art Rooney, Joe Brown, general manager of the Pirates, Jesse Van of the Courier. I mean, there is a multiracial coalition of voices endorsing him.
Including, and this is one of my favorite parts of the book, is we actually detail the letters he got and what people said to show you that people knew this guy. And one was his teacher from McKeesport, a grade school teacher from McKeesport, who says, I can't wait to tell everybody I taught Mal Good. So we know far and wide the celebration was grand.
What lessons can we learn? Because we really have not even scratched the surface of, you know, even at ABC, he had a cameraman who, you know, twice sabotaged his film so that he could not get on the air. When Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, Mal Good had King's home phone number and could call him at any hour of the day and night, and did. He assumed he was going to be sent to Atlanta to cover the funeral, and at first he was not part of the coverage team for ABC, and he was outraged. So we did not even scratch the surface, and I would encourage people to pick up the book and find out some of this. But I want to ask you both to kind of close out. What are some lessons that we can take away today?
You know, I think the story of Black Pittsburgh is a story of resilience and perseverance and creating institutions which, as I think Mary D. first coined, made the Hill the crossroads of the world. Whether it was jazz or black sports or the emergence of figures like Good, you know, these were people not far in their family history from slavery, and yet they kept at it. And it's an indication of what they were able to accomplish, but it's also, unfortunately, a reflection of the obstacles they faced.
And I would say that Mal Good's role and mantle in media and national media was to force network and television directors and executives to recognize that they need to reflect the complexities of the American world they are reporting on and of that society, and to take a holistic approach to the black community and to integrate that into the broader picture. And I would also say that the vast strides that we have made are not unconnected to Mal Good, his presence, and his persistent, polite, and relentless confrontation of everything that stood in his way.
There are some stories in there where he wasn't so polite, and those are some of the stories that you will read in Mal Good Reporting, The Life and Work of a Black Broadcast Trailblazer. It is new. It's from the University of Pittsburgh Press, upittpress.org. It's available in hardcover and paperback. Leanne Sukas and Rob Ruck are faculty in the History Department at the University of Pittsburgh. February 13th at Pitt, there is going to be a panel discussion involving some local broadcaster, members of the Good family, and Rob and Leanne. So you can find out more. Go to pit.ly/BHM2025. Leanne and Rob, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us.
Thank you. We really enjoyed it.
And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting this week on location from the University of Pittsburgh. On Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. So long.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website
at TubeCityOnline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.